This is Ozarks at Large. Yesterday, the Annie E. Casey Foundation released their 2022 Kids Count data book. Arkansas ranked 43rd for overall childhood well-being, down from 39th place in 2021. The report compiles data from the U.S. Census Bureau, American Community Survey, and the National Survey of Children's Health. Ozarks at Large's Daniel Carruth spoke with President and CEO of the Annie E. Casey Foundation, Lisa Hamilton, yesterday to get a closer look at the indicators and what they mean.
So the good news is that the figures on economic well-being are encouraging. They show that before the pandemic, conditions were definitely improving for a lot of kids and families. And the data suggests that the child tax credit, which was expanded during the pandemic, helped a lot of people. Now, this data is from 2020. That's the most recent data we have. So we certainly need to monitor this data as we get more information during the pandemic and beyond. But we know families were going into the pandemic in a stronger place than they had been in the past. Unfortunately, even though there is some improvement in those indicators, 17% of children are still growing up in poverty, and the numbers are even higher for children of color, particularly African-American and American Indian children, where that proportion is close to a third. In terms of data that we are concerned about, the health indicators are concerning us greatly. Child and teen deaths are up, obesity is up, and more babies are being born at low birth weight. These are all slight increases, but we need to keep a close eye on these potentially troubling trends. And then for the first time in this data book, we looked at the issue of youth mental health. Between 2016 and 2020, the number of children who were reported as having anxiety or depression increased 26%. That's some over 7 million children.
And then I did want to dig into the poverty aspect. I know that childhood poverty is one of the areas where Arkansas has struggled in, and we had a slight improvement. Can you break down sort of how the report measures how poverty impacts, you know, kids' future success?
Well, we know that growing up in poverty is one of the highest risk factors for children. It means they aren't able to meet their basic needs for healthy food or a safe place to live or utilities. And so that's one of the most important indicators that we track. Overall, nationally, 17% of children are growing up in poverty. In Arkansas, that number is higher. It's at 22%. In this data book, we do note that the numbers were moving in the right direction in Arkansas, down from 27% just 5 or 6 years ago. But this data, the most recent years we have are from 2020. So we need to continue to make sure we pay attention to making sure families are economically stable, both in Arkansas and across the country.
Right. And Arkansas as a whole, you know, this year in the data book, it dropped from 39th to 43rd. And I'm just wondering, you know, what were the major factors that sank that score?
Well, the rankings don't often change very much from year to year, and policy decisions in other states can affect those rankings, not just policy decisions in an individual state. But if states are making changes around the levels of economic support for families, such as earned income tax credit, if they're investing in education in ways that, for example, give more young children access to early education, or expanding healthcare coverage to more children in those states, all of those factors can have an impact on the rankings from year to year.
And since a lot of this data is from 2020, I'm wondering, you know, how much has the pandemic affected and impacted, you know, the shifts that you're seeing?
Well, we are in the early days of getting data from the pandemic. The most recent data we have is from 2020, and it's going to be really important to get additional information as we see how children progress through the pandemic, particularly education data. A lot of that data was difficult to collect during the pandemic. And we expect that there are going to be very concerning trends in education, given that children were forced to go to school remotely.
And is there any indication of what the, you know, the long-term impacts of that may be, especially of education-wise?
Well, we know that children were forced to participate in school remotely. Many children did not have access to the technology or broadband access to do that. So we are very concerned about the education outcomes for children. But we know that the pandemic caused millions of families to lose jobs and income. And so there's a reason to be worried about economic trends in the future. And as we highlight in this data book, young people's mental health absolutely suffered during the pandemic. And we want to encourage policymakers to take steps to act now so that our children can rebound from this crisis, to make sure that their basic needs are met, to make sure that they have mental health services where they need them, for example, in schools, and that they have access to health insurance so that their parents can afford mental health services. We've got some good trends that we reveal in this book that we need to make sure we sustain, and state policymakers and federal policymakers can do a lot to help our kids rebound during this time.
And are there any areas where you've seen national or state level policymakers, you know, making changes that you feel are directly addressing these issues and making an impact?
I'd say the biggest policy decision that helped families during the pandemic was the expansion of the child tax credit. By providing monthly payments to families at a time when many lost income and jobs, it was a crucial support to enable parents to pay their rent, to keep food on the table, to keep the lights on, to provide access to the internet so that kids could learn. Though the child tax credit expansion has expired, we know that was a critical resource to families and could continue to help them as we emerge from the pandemic.
And then are there any specific policies you think haven't been quite addressed yet that need to be?
Well, in this data book, we lift up the issue of youth mental health and the need to focus on increasing resources to support young people. They need greater access to mental health services, particularly in schools, and making sure that more children have access to health insurance. 5% of the children in this country still don't have health insurance, and that means that they're at risk of not having their physical and mental health needs addressed.
And one of the statistics or the issues that was raised in that data book that I thought was pretty striking was the rise in child and teen deaths nationally. Can you break down kind of what that means and where that's coming from?
Well, the increase in child deaths is largely due to gun deaths and overdose. And we know that the country has made great strides in the past in reducing child and teen deaths, particularly in investing in public health strategies. We did a lot to reduce vehicular deaths, which used to be a leading cause of death for young people. But safety experts and scientists and policymakers came together and implemented policies like seatbelt laws and child safety seat laws that really made a difference. And so we hope that leaders can apply that same type of problem solving and creativity to address the current loss of life due to overdose and gun death.
Right. And I'm wondering if there were any specifics from this year's data book that really stood out to you?
Well, I am certainly concerned about the economic well-being of children. Growing up in poverty is a huge risk factor for them. I'm very concerned about the health indicators. All four of the health indicators at the national level were going in trending in the wrong direction. And I am very concerned about youth mental health. When we have data increasing as dramatically as it has around youth mental health, 26% increase in anxiety and depression for our young people, there really is a cause for action. And I am encouraged that there's widespread consensus that there's a need to act, and I hope our policymakers will use this data to do so.
Right. And then, you know, for people who you know, just regular listeners, why is this data book important? Why compile this information? And what do you hope someone, you know, a parent, a teacher, just the regular person gets out of this information?
The Annie Casey Foundation has been producing the Kids Count data book for more than 30 years because we know that children are the future of this country, and we want to empower and equip policymakers and practitioners to have the best data to make the best decisions they can for our young people. This data helps us understand every year how kids are doing. Are they growing up with the basic economic supports they need? Are they doing well in school? Are they healthy and have the access to health care that they need? How are the communities and neighborhoods that they're growing up in? We can take steps to improve all these areas of children's lives, and there's a role for all of us in doing that. And so we hope that this data book can be a tool for policymakers, for school leaders, for parents to know how kids are doing and where we need to focus to help them thrive. We know that kids have been through so much since the start of COVID-19 and the pandemic, but kids and families are finding ways to weather these storms, and we see lots of reasons to be optimistic. Young people today are starting out with greater access to health care, education, and information than prior generations, and we know that all of us want to do more to ensure brighter futures for kids and families, and I know that we can.
All right. Well, thank you very much for talking with me. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
That was Lisa Hamilton, president and CEO of the Annie E. Casey Foundation, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Daniel Carruth. You can find the complete Kids Count data book online at aecf.org.